Welcome to Coffee to Go, where we center ourselves in the scriptures, seasons, and holy days of the Christian tradition. I'm Karen Peter, and I'm here with Blake Smith, and we welcome you on the journey. Blake is out of pocket today at a different location with a different recording device, and so if he sounds a little different today, that's why. So we are beginning Ordinary Time today. Ordinary Time begins this year with what's called Proper 7 or Lesson 7, and that changes year to year depending on where Easter falls. So this year it's Proper 7 and Ordinary Time, or what we also call the season after Pentecost. These Sundays are the weeks that are numbered or ordered, which is where Ordinary Time comes from. And it's this long stretch of 25 weeks or so that we don't have any fun festivals where you get presents in this whole stretch of time. And we only have one holy day, All Saints, is November 1st, and one observance, which is the Reign of God, or sometimes called Christ the King Sunday, which is the last Sunday before Advent begins and the new year begins again. So this stretch of time, these 25 or 26 weeks that we're going to go through here, this is the season after Pentecost, where we acknowledge that the Holy Spirit has come, empowered the church, and we're going to go forth and live out the ministry and message of Jesus. So these all the scriptures for these coming weeks will help us do that. They will help us walk the path that Jesus walked. So on that path, where are we this week? Well, Jesus has been doing a lot of teaching, and we've hung in there with him. And he's kind of on the road again. And this time he is traveling across a border. He is crossing the border in the Gospel of Luke into Samaria, which is, I feel like we should have that dun, 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 dun.
Right?
Land of Gentiles, right? This is not the area of friendly or unfriendly Jewish people. This is the land of the Samaritans and the Gentiles. And so Luke is making a point here with where he places this conversation. So what happens, Blake?
All right. Well, we're in the 8th chapter of Luke, and we're going to read today from the 26th through the 39th verse. Then they arrived at the region of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. As he stepped out on the shore, a man from the city who had demons met him. For a long time, he had not worn any clothes, and he did not live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, shouting at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many times it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles, but he would break the bonds and be driven by the demons into the wilds. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. They begged him not to order them to go back into the abyss. Now there on the hillside, a large herd of swine was feeding, and the demons begged Jesus to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd stampeded down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When the swineherd saw what had happened, they ran off and told it in the city and in the country. Then people came out to see what had happened, and when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they became frightened. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by demons had been healed. Then the whole throng of people of the surrounding region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. So why does this matter? Well, Karen, as you've mentioned, we're in Samaria, we're in Gentile country, and Jesus encounters a Gentile under the power of legions of demons. And just the mention of the word legions ought to bring something to mind for us, because they are in a place that was under Roman occupation. Judea and Samaria were under Roman occupation, and Jesus is casting out the demons, and the people that are there, you might expect them to celebrate, but they didn't celebrate. They were terrified, and they didn't want to be around the healed man. I mean, they had seen him at his worst, and this dramatic change was a change we'll talk a little bit about that is actually terrifying. We get, and we know well what it is like to face change and how scary that can be. In this telling of the story, they're in the very city which sparked a famous Jewish revolt, which again reminds us that there are legions of demons. In this case, we might say the Roman soldiers are represented by the demons, and Jesus defeats the demons who go on to self-destruct. So there's a lot of language and symbolism here, but it's making a political statement. And we don't, you know, we often talk about we can't mix politics and church. And then we are reminded that Jesus was very political, and even the Gospels.
Well, yeah, Luke obviously is making a political statement here. You don't realize it from our lens, right? Our modern lens.
Right.
You put all of this together and look at the language. It's like, oh, my goodness. Yes.
Yeah. So obviously, Jesus is more powerful than Rome, and no wonder the people are afraid. So they turn this healing into a threat. You might wonder why they're a threat. And I was just in a conversation the other day. Here's an example. So you have works of diversity, inclusion, and equity are being challenged in the USA for sure. They've been turned into negatives by the people who are in power. They're afraid. They don't want social and political justice. And if we consider why that is, that conversation that I mentioned that I had yesterday, we were talking about how information is power, right?
Yeah.
And so when we have information, we want to hold on to that information, because if we have something somebody else doesn't, we have some power. And when we share that information that only we have, we also share our power. And some people see that as losing power, not sharing power. They're losing power, and that's a threat. But the other side of it is, and we all know deep down, but we forget about it, is that when we share information, our power, and I say that in air quotes, is actually increased, because together we're likely to do so much more with the information in sharing our ideas and the information and thoughts we have, but it's hard to see in the moment. And well, especially if we look at life as a zero-sum game where there's only so much, and if I give it away, that's less that there is for me.
Less for me. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
So we don't want to give it away. We don't want to allow change, because when we do that, there's at least society would make us think that if we do that, we're diminished. And diversity, equity, and inclusion are threats to some, because it increases the number of people who have access to our power and our privilege.
Yeah, see, it's, you start to get at it there when we start equating power with privilege, because a lot of people would say, I don't have any power. Well, we have privilege. We don't see it because we swim in it, but we do. And I think there's another piece of this is that's really interesting kind of social behavior, and that is, if I'm hanging out with people who do the same things I do, and then I change and don't do some of those things anymore. So this happens a lot with people who drink too much, and they go to AA and they stop drinking. And then their friends that were drinking are looking at them like, well, we want you to start drinking again because you were more fun then and you were more like us. And now they don't want to hang out with the person that stopped because they're not fun anymore. But also, that's what they say. But the reality is, it calls into question their behavior. And they don't want to be held accountable for their own behavior. And so there's all of these social dynamics that we can look at and go, oh yeah, I can see where they wouldn't want Jesus around anymore. It's challenging their own accountability and their own behavior. And then we miss the bigger picture, which is Jesus is also challenging oppression and systems that, well, look at some of the words that were used in this scripture. So he was chained and bound. Jesus is challenging incarceration and systems that keep people underprivileged, that keep people in places of scarcity and poverty and illness. And those words that bring up the images of incarceration or deceit, the legions were trying to trick Jesus into not, or beg Jesus into not doing something that would hurt them. So deceit, incarceration, oppression, even mental imbalance at the hands of people of power, all of that is being challenged here by Jesus. And it's all set in this place of revolt or resistance. I find the whole passage takes on a different meaning.
Right. I want to quickly just pick up on that word of privilege, because I know that there are probably some that might hear that word privilege and, well, I'm not privileged. I work hard. Well, privilege isn't about not having to work hard. Privilege is about having the opportunity to work hard and get something out of it and gain from it, which everybody does not have that privilege.
Yeah, it's really interesting. If you're interested in hearing more about this kind of thing, you can email us at Project Zion, and we are happy to share some recommended reading if you're a person that likes to do that, or just keep listening to the podcast. But this is very applicable for where we are in the world today.
Yeah, and I'm going to take a chance here and say, one of you mentioned the AA and the alcoholism, but we're experiencing the same thing in Christianity, where parts of Christianity are threatened by those who would reach out to the poor and the marginalized because it challenges their own beliefs and their own actions. So, I mean, it's happening in a lot of arenas, and Christianity is not immune to it. So,
well, we've been challenged in scripture that we are called to stand up to political and religious and social powers that keep people in situations that continue to oppress and impoverish others. So, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Think about on this first Sunday. That's not very ordinary, Blake. We didn't first day of ordinary time.
We might bring ordinary time to life here.
I don't know. We'll see here as we go along.
Well, so for our questions, I want to focus on that idea of change and the fear of change. I mean, when we get back to the text, even though the area was under Roman occupation, which doesn't bring to mind positive thoughts, at least the people knew what to expect. And to change that, to break the status quo, can be fearful. So I want to focus the questions today on that idea of change. So the first question would be, when have I resented changes someone else has made? Another is, have I gained or lost friends when I have made changes in my spiritual journey? And finally, how willing am I to cross borders, as Jesus did, into unfamiliar or unwelcome communities near me?
All good questions. So when we look at how we might kind of live in this scripture or experience this scripture this week, I think it's a good opportunity at this beginning of the second half of the Christian year to look at what habits or life choices do I need to change? Do you need to change? And so this is the week to take those first steps, to make that change, to let go, to accept healing from whatever it might be that are self-destructive tendencies. So visit with a safe friend about it. Go to an AA meeting. Reevaluate a harmful relationship, or refrain from harmful substances like refined sugar or hydrogenated oils, whatever it may be in your life that you're feeling like needs to be changed for you to be more fully engaged in the world and in your spiritual life, then take that first step this week with Jesus to make that change.
Great stuff. And I would imagine, I'll just speak for myself, we all have something we can set aside.
Yeah. Yeah. Some are big, some are little, but yeah.
Yeah, right. So our blessing today is a prayer written by Kara Gilger. And we'll finish out this episode with that. Holy One, life in community is in the fabric of our faith, a messy and at times uneasy prospect. When our hearts and minds fail to align with you and with one another, the threads we've woven together begin to fray. Give us the courage to name our hurts so that silence does not destroy us. Where there is confusion, strengthen us with clarity. Where there is sorrow, comfort us with compassion. Where trust has been shattered, piece us together with perspective. Heal the places within ourselves and this body that have been torn apart. Reconcile us to you and to one another. Reveal to us a path forward. Restore in us hope for the future that we always have in you. Amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you for joining us here today at Coffee to Go. We invite you to join us next time for the next part of our journey through the liturgical seasons and holy days of the Christian tradition. Mm-hmm.